I'd like to introduce Rick Davis, Director of Library Services and Content Management, and the Acting Superintendent of Documents. Rick?
Thank you all. Can you hear me? Thank you all, and good morning. For the transcribers, I am Rick Davis. I'm the Director of Library Services and Content Management and the Acting Superintendent of Documents. I think during the now 16 years that I've been at the GPO, I think this is the first time that I've actually brought a water bottle up here as I'm giving my speech, so we have a lot to talk about today. First, I want to again extend a welcome to all of you and express that all of us are very happy that you were able to join us here today. I heard a brief story a few days back that I want to share with you, and it's about the connection between GPO and Missouri. The USS Missouri was the last battleship built in the United States. It's probably more widely known, however, for being the site of the Japanese unconditional surrender at the end of World War II. But do you know that GPO actually had a role in that surrender? At 9 a.m. on September 2, 1945, aboard the deck of the ship, the official instrument of surrender was signed. There were two copies. The Japanese version was bound in canvas, while the Allied version was bound in leather, had gold lining, and had the seals of the United States and Japan on the cover. A craftsman from GPO actually created the binding for that Allied version. His handiwork, along with the surrender document, is actually available for viewing at the National Archives under Record Group 80-G. So there you have it, GPO's role in helping to end World War II, and I think also one of the first examples of version control. Throughout this meeting, as always, I want to encourage you to approach me or any member of my staff to ask us any questions you may have. I always encourage everybody to use the Ask GPO service to ask questions of us after you get back to your home or office, but I also like to give out my direct email address, which is rdavis@gpo.gov. If you're not getting the service you need, always feel free to contact me, and I'll make sure you do. I want to take a moment to recognize our esteemed council members who are going to be ending their tenure this fall. Marion Parker, who couldn't be with us today, Peter Hemphill, Mark Sandler, and our chair, Jeff Swindells. Your service and dedication is enormously appreciated. We are currently reviewing applications for the incoming class, but I want all of you to know that you'll be greatly missed. If you could all join me in a round of applause. I also want to welcome some staff members who are part of GPO's new Leadership Development Program to their first spring council meeting, and I'd like to ask them to stand up for a moment. Adrian Mandry, Mark Kaufman, and Richard Lee. The Leadership Development Program is a GPO program that recruits internal and external candidates for a two-year leadership development program, which includes time in four different business tracks. So I'm very happy you were able to join us here for the conference. Now I'd like to update you on some of the activities going on in library services and content management, and as I mentioned, it's a lot, so this is a little longer than usual, but please sit back and be comfortable. First up is authentication. This has been a very exciting time for GPO in regards to our authentication initiative. To help meet the challenge of the digital age, GPO has begun implementing digital signatures to certain electronic documents on GPO Access that not only establish GPO as a trusted information disseminator, but provide assurance that the information has not been tampered with since GPO disseminated it. A digital signature, viewed through the seal of authenticity, verifies document integrity and authenticity on online federal documents at no cost to the end user. Recently, GPO digitally signed the 2009 budget of the United States government. This is the first time that this has been done. Just last week, we worked with the Office of the Federal Register, and we moved the public and private laws out of beta, and those have now also been digitally signed. We're making progress, and we're moving ahead. Next up for discussion are the congressional bills, and we'll continue to move ahead. We also have some new authentication materials available at this meeting, including a general authentication flyer, as well as a flyer that describes the newly signed budget and how you can use this technology. The next item I want to talk about is our integrated library system. The overall goal of the implementation of our ILS is the provision of access to depositories and the public to bibliographic records of the federal government. The goal is to also streamline the workflow and the internal activities that support the FDLP and reduce redundancy and our reliance on legacy mainframe systems. A lot of new and exciting things have been happening with ILS that you've been hearing about through GPO and you're going to hear about here at this conference. I'd like to particularly recognize the efforts of Lori Hall, Linda Resler, Patricia Duplantis, An Liu, and Violet Lee for leading this effort. The library unit recently announced the completion of phase two of the Federal Depository Library Directory, and we released the public interface. The release of this replaced many of the previous library directory tools, including the PDF version on GPO Access and the library directory files that were on our older federal bulletin board technology. The FDLD can now be accessed via the GPO Access homepage. The public interface enables the user to search and view directory information as well as to extract and export specific data files in various formats. Phase one of this FDLD, as you know, provided libraries with the administrative module access, and phase two was the public rollout. Another new enhancement that was announced in February was access to the Catalog of Government Publications via Z39.50 for searching, retrieval, and downloading of bibliographic records available to depository libraries. Additionally, even though there are a lot of us here, there are still people back at GPO working, which is good, and I got news this morning that the upgrade to the Aleph software version 18 from 16.02 is now complete. Production in this is beginning today. The coming months will provide many new exciting initiatives and opportunities related to ILS, including CGP web interface enhancements, configuration of the circulation module, and the creation of individual patron records for depository and design via login through authenticated services. At tomorrow's 10:30 a.m. ILS session, you're going to hear more updates on this and some of the things that we've done and how they work. The next topic I want to talk about is digitization. This is being led by a cross-functional team between my unit, Library Services, and the Program Management Office under Mike Wash. It includes Robin Han Mohammed, who's here today, James Malden, who's back at the office, along with Matt Landgraf and Kirk Knoll, who are from the PMO, and I think Kirk is here in the audience. In January 2008, a request for information for mass digitization opportunities was posted to Federal Business Opportunities. GPO requested information specific to the digitization of publications within scope of our information dissemination programs that exist in tangible format. We envisioned a cooperative, mutually beneficial relationship with either a private or public sector participant, such that files created as a result of the conversion process would be delivered to GPO. The files would have to be fully faithful digital master copies that would also produce access derivatives through our federal digital system. In exchange, the public or private sector participant will be able to maintain their own collection of the files. GPO is currently in the process of evaluating the responses that we received to this request for information, and we are planning as a next step to do a formal request for proposal. We see the entity that we contract with doing a lot of the scanning, but also, as you know, we have a digital scanning operation in-house at GPO that consists of about 20 people. That's a very dedicated staff that's going to be employed, particularly looking at maps, oversized materials, fragile items, and of course doing quality control. GPO is also working with the Library of Congress right now on two very important digitization projects. We're assisting LC in the digitization of the bound congressional record from the 43rd Congress through the 105th. LC is digitizing this material to meet GPO's specifications for converted content for preservation masters, and we're also collaborating on the digitization of statutes at large from volumes 82 to 103, which covers the period from 1951 up to 2002. The next item I'd like to take a few minutes on is the topic of shared regionals. As you all know, the concept of multiple libraries sharing the responsibilities of a regional federal depository is not new. It's almost as old as the statute that created regional depositories in 1962. Within the statutory framework of Title 44, different models of sharing resources and responsibilities between regionals and the selectives that they have served have been implemented over the years with GPO approval. This includes different models of intrastate sharing between regionals and selectives and between regional libraries in one state and selective libraries in another state where no regional exists. For just about 15 years now, the depository library community has been discussing alternative models for carrying out the responsibilities of regionals. Technological innovations in the online environment make it possible to develop new models for sharing resources and responsibilities between regionals and the different states and the selectives that they support. In this environment where geographic boundaries are blurred to services, who better to determine how to deliver government information and the needs of a region than the libraries that serve it? With guidelines in place, depositories should be allowed to explore and implement new and creative ways to cooperate and manage their depository collections and provide service to the public. In May of 2007, GPO issued draft guidelines for establishing shared regional depository libraries for public comment. I think I said at the last conference it was a topical issue in which I've seen more responses than any other issue that GPO has ever brought forward. All of the comments were generally supportive of the idea, were thoroughly reviewed. We made revisions to the guidelines based on the good feedback that we received from all of you. Suggestions were also incorporated based on GPO's own strategic vision and the Depository Library Council vision document. From that, the Kansas-Nebraska Shared Regional Proposal was the first to move forward to GPO and to our Oversight Committee, the Joint Committee on Printing, for approval under these guidelines. GPO transmitted this information, and we received information back from JCP on what they want us to do next, and I'd like to read some excerpts from that. We thank you for requesting the approval of the Joint Committee on Printing for the designation of the regional depository libraries at the University of Kansas and the University of Nebraska as shared federal regional depository libraries. While Congress has given the Joint Committee broad authority over the operations of the Government Printing Office, which administers the FDLP, that authority has limits. For guidance, the Joint Committee consulted the American Law Division of the Congressional Research Service, Library of Congress. CRS concluded that neither the language nor legislative history of 44 U.S. Code supports GPO's interpretation of the statute. After careful review, the Joint Committee finds the CRS analysis persuasive. If the public printer may not authorize shared regional depository libraries under 44 U.S. Code, the JCP cannot approve such action. Although the Joint Committee cannot approve this request, we are nonetheless very concerned that this request to share resources and responsibilities signals the growing challenges confronting regional depository libraries in maintaining and supporting effective public access through the Federal Depository Library Program. Accordingly, the JCP is directing the Government Printing Office, in consultation with all concerned elements from the depository library community, particularly the regionals, to undertake a thorough examination of the current state of the regional depository libraries nationwide. The purpose of this will be to evaluate the extent to which public access via the FDLP may be impaired by current or projected organizational, financial, technological, or other conditions affecting regionals. This letter further directed GPO to provide JCP with these findings by early summer, so we have a very tight deadline. It also requests that we provide any legislative recommendations that need to be modified in relation to Title 44, particularly related to regionals. In light of these recent developments, GPO has made a conscious decision to keep the guidelines that we put up in effect from the FDLP desktop. The guidelines are not exclusively for interstate shared proposals, but for intrastate arrangements as well. And actually, they have broader application than for those seeking shared regional designations. The guidelines also provide best practices to follow for establishing any type of shared arrangement, and this includes selective housing agreements. Cindy Etkin has taken a leadership role in developing the initiatives associated with the study that we're going to be doing. We're going to be starting that kickoff process here at this conference. We're going to be drafting the document in close consultation with regionals and the library community, And for me, transparency is the key. We're going to keep people involved as we move forward on this. Next, I'd like to talk about our FDLP marketing plan. In the coming weeks, the library unit will be disseminating a new FDLP marketing plan, first to council and then to the broader library community for comment. This was created by Kelly Seifert, who is a program planner within Library Services. GPO's main goal in this initiative is to assist libraries in marketing their unique, valuable, and underutilized services to the widest possible audience and to help develop tools necessary for better marketing. Also, according to both the GPO's own strategic vision and also the Depository Library Council vision, we touched upon years ago the need for better defining how we do marketing. I'd like to read a quote from the council document in particular, which said, "We need to find ways to expand awareness of both the Federal Depository Library Program and government information generally via excellent public relations and marketing," and that's something we need to tackle. As part of this new marketing plan, we're unveiling a new marketing slogan for the services provided by depositories. An extensive marketing campaign will also be launched by GPO to help support this. The new slogan that we're proposing is "Easy as FDL," with the corresponding tagline, "Federal Depository Libraries, Free Information, Dedicated Service, Limitless Resources." So we look forward to your feedback on that. Look for announcements on this from both FDLPL and also from our FDLP desktop. I want to mention in particular FDLPL, as a number of people have mentioned to me in the past that they're not subscribed to that. The URL for that is listserv.access.gpo.gov. And if you're not subscribed, I highly encourage you to, as that is one of our primary communication tools for getting information out to the library community, in addition to the information we make available on the FDLP desktop. The next topic I want to talk about is our FDL handbook. Library Services has recently consolidated and updated its various FDLP instructions and manuals into a single online publication. It's known as the Federal Depository Library Handbook, and it was released in January. Within this handbook, you will find legal requirements, program requirements, and guidance for depository operations. Each chapter includes best practices, tips, and resources for library administrators. We're planning to update this on a quarterly basis, but as we're doing so, comments are always welcome. The next chapter that's going to be included in the handbook, and you'll hear more about this during the conference, is the chapter on public access assessments that Kathy Brazee will talk about during her presentation. The next item of interest, I think, is the biennial survey. I want to personally thank all of you who have responded to the survey. I know it's a monumental task, it's very time-consuming, but it is extremely, extremely valuable. This effort was led by Ted Preby in our planning branch, Nancy Fage, Karen Seeger, and other library planning staff. They developed it in consultation with the Depository Library Council and included some core questions that we've had in the past, as well as some new information requirements that we have in the electronic information environment. I want to provide you with a few highlights from that survey, but also make a note that the responses to the questions, selected findings, and an entire report are available for your reading off of the FDLP desktop. What we found was that 94% of respondents have a written collection development policy, and approximately 75% have binding or replacement access, public services, and internet use policies. However, only 8% of depositories reported that they're making that information publicly available. This is something we highly encourage you to do. 24% of depositories have some materials in remote storage, indicating that shelf space, as we know, is a problem. Additionally, 12% indicate that at least one selective housing agreement is in place, and in some cases up to four. And this percentage does include our regional depositories as well. Nearly one in four respondents experienced construction, remodeling, or relocation activities. Just want to remind you to please notify GPO of any of those in terms of any potential disruption of services. Some very unique methods for promoting the depository collection and services were reported. In terms of narrative responses, I counted over 600 suggestions from all of you for describing how depositories would like GPO to assist them in marketing and promotion, and hence why we've taken on this task of developing this plan that we're going to work with you to implement. 12% of respondents indicated that there are current or future plans to digitize within scope materials, and 16% of depositories reported that they downloaded, stored, or made online publications accessible via local servers in 2007, although most of the downloads were between 1 and 25 files. Individual library responses, again, are available from the desktop. I encourage all of you to go there and take a look at that in your time. And speaking of the desktop, GPO's web content management staff, which includes Karen Seeger, John Dalgallo, Michelle Worthington, Joe Piskoski, Katie Davis, and John Braddock, are continuing to develop the new desktop. All of the exciting technologies that you see associated with that desktop is being developed by that group of people. That is the size of the staff. They are assisted along the way with content development by staff throughout Library Services, the Program Management Office, and other business units at GPO. You're going to hear more details about the desktop during this conference, during Karen's presentation, but I want to point out that registration is now open to the public. Registering allows you to receive customized alerts through FDLP Express. You can order promotional materials that we'll provide to you. You can add library events to the community calendar, and you can register and unregister for conferences such as this. To learn more about this, we're having the session tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. in this room. I'd now like to speak briefly on web harvesting, and it's going to be a bit brief because we're having an entire session on that this afternoon. The goal of the web publication harvesting effort at GPO is to discover and capture newly identified online publications within scope of GPO's information dissemination programs. During 2006, GPO conducted a six-month pilot study with the Environmental Protection Agency. This was a collaborative project implemented by GPO, EPA, and two vendors. The goal of the pilot was to learn about available methodologies and technologies for automated web discovery, assessment, and harvesting. GPO has undertaken projects associated with this to identify time commitments and resource needs to process the files acquired during the pilot. The initial project was completed in December after we processed a sample of publications, both monographs and serials, from the results and made them available through the CGP and also through GPO Access. I want to encourage you to attend the session that's being held this afternoon to find out more details. The session is going to update you on the efforts that we've been making and also talk about ways that we think you might be able to help us with this project if you're interested in volunteering. A related activity associated with that that's been done under particularly Lori's leadership is automated metadata extraction. GPO has entered into an interagency agreement with the Defense Technical Information Center in collaboration with Old Dominion University in Virginia to create cataloging records using automated metadata extraction software. We expect to leverage the knowledge acquired through this project to do a couple of things of interest. First, to evaluate alternative methods of creating metadata for U.S. government documents. Secondly, to investigate cost and staffing implications for using automated tools versus manual metadata creation. And finally, to develop detailed requirements that will be implemented with the federal digital system for specifications for the long-term use of automated metadata extraction technology. We're in the home stretch here. The next item I think that would be of interest to you is what's going on with PACER. As you may know, in September 2007, the Judicial Conference approved the pilot project to provide federal depository libraries access to PACER, public access to court electronic records, through a pilot project with the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts. The PACER system can provide remote access to case and docket information from the federal courts via the Internet. Records include information from the appellate, district, and bankruptcy courts. The 17 PACER pilot depository libraries are currently working with us at promoting this service to the public and their primary clientels. I'd like to thank those that are participating with us as part of this effort. The first bi-monthly report, which covers December 2007 through January 2008, revealed that there were over 150 PACER users, 67 of whom had not previously used the service. So this is good news. The next item I'd like to mention, if you haven't seen this through the listserv announcement, is that we do have new specifications we released for FDLs, for public access workstations. These recommended specifications are intended to assist depository coordinators in making informed decisions that will best achieve the goal of providing public access to federal government information in electronic forms. Additionally, a brief item of note to tell you about regarding UPS small package pickup and return labels. As you may know, our depository distribution division, led by Janet McCaskill, has begun using UPS as the small package pickup contractor. We're hoping that this helps with fewer misdirected packages. If you have any questions concerning that, again, please contact us through Ask GPO. As Bob mentioned in his speech, a couple of items I want to add to related to our budget. Specifically for the FDLP request that we made for the S&E appropriation, we've asked for additional financing associated with FDLP program outreach, additional data storage as we continue to maintain permanent public access to all of this content available through GPO access. We want to do some modernization of our item selection systems and some other mainframe-based applications that are not going to be replaced by the federal digital system. We still have to not only keep them up and running, but make them better. We want to continue with the automated metadata extraction processes associated with cataloging, and we've asked for more funding for that. And again, FDLP legacy collection digitization, we do see a role for a partner in this process, but we also see a role for GPO, and we've asked for funding in that regard. To wrap things up, I want to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is outreach. And outreach for us means travels by GPO staff, public access assessments, partnerships, online training, and then, of course, upcoming meetings. First, in regard to traveling, many GPO staff members have visited you in locations that include Arizona, West Virginia, New York, Alabama, Pennsylvania, and others. If any of you would like to request GPO participation at your library for special events, anniversaries, or just to come hear us talk, please go to the desktop and request our assistance. We will do everything we can to come and visit you. Public access assessments. Again, under the leadership of Kathy Brazee, we're making good strides with this program. We hired an additional assessments person who's coming on board at the end of April. Kathy has helped revitalize this program by putting out a document related to access communications collections for comment. A number of you have commented on, and a final version is going out. And she's also going to talk about a checklist that we're going to be putting out to assist with assessments. You'll be hearing more about that during the conference. Partnerships. GPO has a long history of developing partnerships, dates back to 1997. With an increasing amount of federal information available electronically, partnerships help to ensure permanent public access to electronic content and also provide services to assist depositories and others in locating electronic materials. I want to thank our partnership leader, who I think is in the audience, Suzanne Ibanus from Library Planning. Since the beginning of fiscal year 2008, we have formed two new partnerships that I think are very important. The first is with the Naval Postgraduate School, which allows depository libraries to gain access to Homeland Security digital library documents. This is a database that contains policy documents, presidential directives, and national strategy documents. A press release on this is forthcoming. The second partnership was when GPO joined with the University of Illinois at Chicago and other participating libraries to promote government information online, Ask a Librarian. And I want to publicly thank John Schuler for his efforts on that. Since February the 11th, when GEO was launched with GPO, we forwarded over 100 such questions, related to areas of government that are outside the expertise that we can answer at GPO. So this has been incredibly helpful for us. Please also be sure to attend the Collaboration with GPO Council session that will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday. Last but not least, OPAL. I want to take an opportunity to remind everyone that online FDLP training is available through OPAL, A-P-O-P-A-L, Online Programming for All Libraries, which is an interactive web-based meeting and conferencing service. The educational sessions may be live or pre-recorded. The live events are held in the OPAL room for GPO and the OPAL auditorium, and it allows participants to interact using voiceover IP, text chatting, and synchronized browsing. We've already done several presentations that are archived for you to go take a look at with GPO and the library community related to the Catalog of Government Publications, Browse Topics, Authentication, and the Library Directory. Something I think that's really neat is that GPO has now opened up the OPAL room to members of the Depository Library community. If you'd like to come in and also present your own educational and training sessions, we'll work with you to do that as well. To learn more about OPAL, to obtain URLs, please take a look at the information in your handouts and also come visit the FDLP desktop. In terms of upcoming meetings, we're going to have the 2008 Annual Interagency Depository Seminar at GPO starting the 28th of July. The fall conference meeting is going to be at the hotel that we were at last fall, the Arlington DoubleTree. We got a lot of good feedback from all of you, and we're able to get that hotel again. And for spring 2009, we're going to be out in Tampa, Florida. These events are free. Applause. These events are free, and registration and hotel information will be available through the FDLP desktop. Something that we've added to the desktop is sort of an events countdown calendar, which is kind of neat because it also keeps all of us at GPO on our toes to let us know that these conferences are always kind of just around the corner. I want to conclude by commending Lance Cummins, and I can't believe Lance is in the room. He's always out at the desk. There he is. I want to thank Lance and his staff in education and outreach, particularly Marion McGill-Ray, Nick Ellis, Yvonne Ellis, Bridget Gavon, and Michelle Hawkins. There's no way we could have this meeting without their work. If we could give them a round of applause. I always like to wrap up by saying that you're here not only for education, but as I mentioned to new attendees this morning, please use it as an opportunity to network with GPO and to network with each other. I want to just tell you one quick and final story that I think you'll all be pleased with. I was very pleased when I heard it. A couple of weekends ago, my son had some friends over, and my son is in those early teenage years, so you never know what you're going to hear or what you're going to expect. And his friends asked him what his dad did for a living. And I was in the kitchen, and I was very, very terrified. The thoughts that ran through my mind were, he attends meetings all day long, or was he going to say he works on integrity of federal documents and chain of custody to ensure authentication? But no, he didn't say any of those. He said he keeps America informed. And one of his friends said, wow. And you know what? That's the way I feel every day. And I know you do too. And I want to thank all of you for your work and for partnering with us.
Well, thanks, Rick and Bob. And that wraps up this morning's session. And remember, lunch with your regional. Find your regionals. Actually, could all regionals stand up? Gee, we have more regionals than we have selectives. No. There your regionals are. So meet with your regional, have lunch, and we're adjourned until this afternoon.